All around us, there are reminders of your presence in our midst. But our world seems intent on ignoring or responding to your presence. Our world is being torn by anger and disruption. War seems to breed more war. Violence generates more violence. Poverty leads to more poverty. We find ourselves, O God, placed into categories and wrapped into neat boxes, where we oftentimes are forced to stand against our fellow man. It is through this forcing of categories that we see a counterculture emerging that is being forced into a radical position. We pray, O Lord, that as we go into a world that is screaming for meaning and consistency, that we would help bring meaning to the places where man is confused, and consistency to those places where man says one thing and does another, and he is not honest with his inner self. We would pray that as we go into a world that has rubbed itself raw to the nerve endings, that we would become a catalyst for understanding and compassion. O Lord, help us not to become bridges over troubled waters, but boats that will travel through those waters to help the confused, perplexed, and the afflicted in life. Help us to seek thy presence in our lives and to develop a sensitivity to ourselves and others. Help us to reflect your life in the dark places of the minds and desires of men. God, hear our honest desires as we pray to thee. Amen.
we dispense with the usual congratulatory remarks addressed to Board of Regents? With this exception, Dr. Wood, I want to thank you personally, you and the Board of Regents, for permitting me to be here today. Thank you very much. That's about the nicest thing I'm going to say today. I certainly am not going to compliment you young ladies or the matrons in our midst, for it would certainly be most impolite, tactless, and presumptuous for anyone to throw a bouquet of flowers into such a lovely garden of roses. This is a day of mystic memories. Memories. A day of action and a day of high and holy hope. As we walk through the corridors of yesterday and the halls of learning, many memories, tender, sweet, innocent, and kind, creep into the recesses of our hearts and minds and souls. Some of these memories have been fringed in black, rather somber, sad memories, but most of them are touched with beauty and touched with comradeship and the friendships that you have made in your scholastic and academic past here in the University of Alaska. I shall not spend much time in these corridors of the past. You all know more about it than I do. I do know that framed in virgin timber are the portraits of many of you. And I trust if any of you have been framed in rotten wood or worm-eaten, termite-laden frames, to replace those rotten structures with good, seasoned hardwood. This is also a day of action, a vital, dynamic action on the part of each and every one of us. We have been majoring in the minors. We've majored in what we thought were majors. We have majored in the three R's, the old three R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic. I've graduated from a higher institution of learning also, so consequently I can't spell either. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. I am of the opinion that you have built well. I know that the faculty and the inspired and courageous guidance and leadership of Dr. Wood and his faculty and the Board of Regents and those associated with them in the administration and supervision of the University of Alaska have contributed much to your education. I know you are all numbered among the living today. I wonder how many of you are dead. Dead to the issues of this day and age that demands action on the part of all of us. Last year, Dr. Wood made the remark that last year, this is the year of the student. Let me carry that a bit further, Doctor, with your permission. This is the era of the student, the era of the intelligent student, and more so the wise individual, because certainly there is a difference between intelligence and wisdom. The three R's, the major R's, call for a reinvention, a reconstruction, a reaffirmation of what we know beyond the shadow of any doubt are the essential ingredients of personal decency, integrity, and honesty. The old-fashioned virtues, certainly. I trust that you will not think of this peroration or dissertation as a sermon. We've had too many preachers and too much of preachment and not enough of action. Too much mouthing of empty prayers to a great nothingness, instead of a private confrontation and conversation with the great everything. I trust that you know the difference between revolt, rebellion, and revolution. If not, think it over. As a clergyman, I feel I am in a position at a baccalaureate service on the Sunday to discuss rather briefly some of the dangers confronting the church. I'm not talking about religion now, I'm talking about church. The Gallup poll, I do not take a lot of credence in some of the Gallup polls. Some of you oldsters know how Gallup was so wrong, badly wrong, several years ago. But in this Gallup poll last year, the query was put to many, many people, and they used the word religion where I think they were wrong. Has religion proved ineffective or effective? Why didn't they say the church? And I would have believed them. 70% of those that were queried and questioned said and maintained that religion was ineffective. 10 years ago, only 14% said religion was ineffective. They should have talked about the church and the ineffectiveness of organized religion, if you want to put it that way. Everyone is religious. Even I'm religious, in spite of being a clergyman. All of you are religious. You may not go to church, may not be affiliated with a crumbling institution such as we know it today. I'm just rambling along today. A lad asked me on the due line a while back, said, "Chaplain, I don't believe in God." I said, "Son, neither do I." "What? You're a chaplain and you don't believe in God?" I said, "No, I don't believe in God." "And son, God doesn't believe in you either, and he doesn't believe in me." "What?" "He has faith in you." "And he has faith in me, and I think there's a lot of difference." I don't think that we should have any veneration for old mistakes and no admiration for many of these ancient lies within the church. I'm not talking about religion, don't get me wrong. Go out in the world with an open mind. Belong to the great wrecking crew called doubt. And use every battering ram that you can man. These great steel balls knocking down the superstructures, but the bedrock remains. Doubt is a healthy thing in all fields of thinking. Doubt is healthy. Never lose it, with one exception. Never doubt your husband. Never doubt your wife. I say a wrecking crew. And much of that wrecking is going on today, and I think it's good to destroy these buildings, to destroy many of these temples, many of these superstructures. But to leave those shards there, to leave that debris there, those ruins, no. Clean it up. And on the solid rock foundation, the bedrock, erect and construct a new edifice. A temple, if you want to call it that. Whatever you want to call it. It's great, and I'm employing in this verbiage of mine today many cliches. No doubt you've heard all of these things before. The great dangers that beset this country, the tumult, the tensions, the trials, the pressures, the mistrust, the lack of confidence. These architects of confusion and these arch conspirators of desolation, I would like to put it that they have all combined together to bring about the destruction of everything that you and I hold near and dear. Some of you may have visited Plymouth Colony or the obelisk erected to the memory of the first governor of Plymouth Colony, Governor Bradford. There's a Latin inscription on that obelisk which translated goes like this: what our forefathers with so much difficulty secured, let us not basely relinquish. And if I stopped right there, I would have said enough. What our forefathers with so much difficulty secured, let us not basely relinquish. Go with me for a moment to a little shrine of my own. And in that shrine, I often carry on a very intimate conversation with the great goddess of liberty and truth and justice. Oh, goddess of liberty. O goddess of truth, of justice, O queen of progress, I see thee leaning against an eastern sky tonight, a crimson sky, with the clouds dripping gore. You with your very hued robes, representing all ethnic groups, one hand held alive and high aloft, a torch and a beacon light to all people, in the other a drawn sword. O thou great goddess, queen of progress, queen of mercy, sustain the weak and lift the fallen, feed the hungry little ones of the world, and to thy breast fold the children of sorrow, but with thy hand of steel stay those who to these sacred altars come to waste and prostitute the precious gifts of intellectual freedom. Love and the use of force are not necessarily contradictory terms and elements. My 60 minutes are almost up, Doctor. Please take with you these kind admonitions. Find the truly wise man's balance between renunciation and self-indulgence. Learn to know and to choose
What is irrelevant and what is essential?
Know the meaning and the purpose of obedience and discipline. The faculty can't discipline you. Your fathers and mothers can't discipline you. Discipline is self-discipline. It comes from within. Obedience comes from without. They can teach you to obey, but discipline is something that you must learn yourself. And I believe that all of you are self-disciplined individuals. And in conclusion, I drift back through the ages, through the philosophies of Aristotle and Plato, Kant and Hegel, Spinoza, Socrates, and many of the great contemporary philosophers. And I stop at a lonely cross on a hillside outside of the city of the gates of Jerusalem. They're a combination of the same forces that are running rampant in America today are trying their best to do the same thing. At that time, they thought they crucified truth. But they didn't. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by, when you study the philosophy of the Nazarene, when you study the philosophy of Jesus? We spend more time with the biographies and the histories of the lives of some of our statesmen and governors and senators and secretaries of this and that than we do with studying the greatest philosophy in the world, the philosophy of religion, revealed to such a supreme and perfect extent by Jesus. Here is where the horizontal man, the supine man, meets the vertical man, and they form a cross of tragedy and a cross of triumph. Is it nothing to you? Indifference to me is one of the most damnable things in the world. A callous indifference. A combination of these three forces. The rationalization and the reason of the Greek sophists and Gnostics, who thought they could solve everything and thought they could succeed in everything by building upon reason alone. And you and I know well enough that no man, no woman can succeed based upon reason alone. Here, combined with the military and political expediency of that day and age under Rome, and the ecclesiastical chicanery and arrogance of the clergy and the church of that day and age, they all combined in this unholy triumvirate, this unholy alliance, and brought about that crucifixion. And that crucifixion was not a unique thing in the world. The highways of all nations are lined with crosses, with crucifixion. It still goes on today, but I know full well that none of you are going to identify yourselves with any of these three groups. With any of these three groups. You mean to say that you haven't a job ahead of you? You majored in the minors. You ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't encountered anything yet. You've been in the minor leagues. You're majoring in majors from now on. Dr.
egregious. Half of them were asleep. I know you will agree with me, and please go along with me on this. I've never let you down yet. When I make the following statement, as I roam here and there, hear my journeys end, may I always find friends just as true. May Dame Fortune and kindness my daily path bend with a group of young men and women like you. I find in this life that we get what we give. We are done to forsooth as we do, and my prayer is I may live what I live with a group of young men and women like you. There's a glint in your eye, a clasp in your hand, a note in your voice ever new. I think paradise must be some sort of land with a group of young people like you. So here's a toast to your health, to your joy, your success. For I sometimes wonder if the folk of your kind are too few. But yet there is something to hearten, to gladden and bless in a group of young people like you. So I pledge you again and can only say this, and it springs from a sentiment true, that I'll regret the hours, the days, and the months that I must miss from a group of fine young people like you. I want to close with a word of farewell that old Ramon Ramirez gives me every time I visit that Latin American fisherman down on the Gulf of Mexico. Oh, pobrecito Padre Pablo, I want you, when you go back, in your association with the young men and the young women, be sure and tell them this, what I'm telling you now. And he put his arm over my shoulder and he said, pobrecito. All I can give you to pass on to others is vaya usted con Dios. Vaya usted con Dios. Go you with God. And I want to leave. Vaya usted con Dios. Go you with God. And that is not a funeral procession by any. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your unseen footprints which surround us with loving concern. Lead us to become persons who practice true brotherhood among men. Make us sensitive to the needs of others, willing to do what we can to serve them and you. Keep our gaze upon you that we shall not be lost in the maze of doubt and fear, or led astray to do evil. For in this life, crowded full with work and duties, and the cares of each day, may we still have room for things of spiritual enrichment. We ask that you would fill our lives with wholesome activity that is pleasing in your sight. And now we pray that your love and peace go with us, and your Spirit guide us in new ways of service. For we ask it in your name. Amen.
The audience will be seated while the recessional.